This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Women and men, boys and girls, it's time for another fabulous episode of the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and Little Danny. And we can't wait.
You got to stop calling yourself Little. You're medium Dan. Oh. I want the pillow, Pearl.
Well, that's revealing. Am I only medium?
You're medium Dan. That will do. Some people Serene, weren't Pearl, born to Dan. Be like, you know, the Incredible Hulk of men.
Yeah. Although I did some push-ups this morning and
you
I
were hulking some them results. Out.
Yeah, there's some results. Added a little milk back into my diet.
Is this party about you, Danny?
I sure hope so. Yeah. Ask me how my day went.
Well, he's got his like vlog video right on his face, capturing all the handsomeness of himself that he believes in.
He's got his hair a little higher today, too. Is this a product in there?
There's no product.
What is that guy that used to be in the 80s and used to do aerobics videos?
Richard Simmons.
There's a little Richard Sim to that.
There's a product I'm in feeling. There called Unwashed Oil. Natural, baby.
Hey, we got a good topic today.
I wasn't calling you baby.
Oh, I know.
You were calling all our ladies baby.
Yes.
Communal baby.
Don't worry, bro.
Communal baby.
Don't worry, brother. We grew up together. You don't have to worry about that.
All right. We're good. Let's start.
Today is about, you know what happens when you get a rut, in a rut, not doing the thing that you know you should do, and then it continues on for a little while, and then you think you're just a not doer of that thing?
Yeah.
You know, we've all been there, right?
You're that girl that doesn't
can't
ever
continue to do that thing that you know you should and you want to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like for me, not so much in the food realm because I got that down and I've just been living it for many years, although I'm learning more and more. And, you know, sometimes I make mistakes, but that's not my area, okay? Mm-hmm. My area is being
Don't say bed making.
No. Yeah, bed making.
No, you should be like the
I'm that girl who makes the bed, yeah. Right? You guys have followed my journey about making my bed,
right? So don't
right?
tell me you're not that girl
no
anymore.
Totally that
oh,
girl Serene.
Thank you very much.
I'm talking about what happens when you stumble and you become not that girl.
Oh yeah,
you get back to being that girl. Okay, if you go a few days, it's like liken this to your Trim Healthy journey. If you go a few days, maybe even a couple of weeks, and the
oh,
old
are you talking about your cruise self here?
I'm just talking about if I go away on a little few days, anything that happens, or my life's extremely crazy for a few days and you can't get to making that bed and you know you should. It's my thing. I want to be a bed maker, right? My brain starts to say, yeah, you really thought you were that girl. You tried, didn't you?
Yeah.
But you just ain't.
Yeah.
Deep down, you're not that bed maker, Pearl.
You're an imposter.
Yeah, you're pretending.
I think they call that imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Or something.
Like you'll never get it right. Other woman, they can get it right, but not you, Pearl.
Yeah, because their brain's wired correctly or better or that's they're more natural
at
it.
This is just your challenge, Pearl. Your thing that you probably never get right for the rest of your life. Oh, these thoughts were going through my head because it had been a few days. Let me say it had been close to 2 weeks and that bed was unmade.
This party is going to be profound when we bring the nay out.
The nay is on sight.
So I thought to myself, am I a quitter? Am I one of those people that I just want when I hear them saying, oh, I haven't done Trim Healthy, Mama. You know, this happened and it was 2 weeks and then it was a month and I fell off the wagon. The wagon run me over and I was like, okay, the making bed wagon's running me
and it's
over.
It's almost when it's been, especially when it's been a few months, it's almost like you think, well, you've tried that for a try and that was just a little part of your life and you're never going to go back. It was just like one of those things you tried.
It's become scar tissue.
It has. And the longer you leave it, the more shame you feel, but the more farther it away it seems from attaining it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the less identity
so true, Dan. You don't have that I'm that girl who makes a bad identity anymore because you think, well, that was a pretend and I tried it. But today's party is all about that one thing you haven't been doing. You get up off your behind and you just go do it. The next thing you're going to do is that thing you haven't been doing.
Do it right now.
So I'll tell you, I got up and I wasn't a bed maker, but the shame was telling me I wasn't a bed maker. But you know what I said? I said it out loud, people. I said, I'm that girl who makes my jolly bed.
Yes.
You know what I did? I went and made my jolly bed. And guess who I am?
You're a bed maker.
I jolly well am. And I messed up. And I wasn't making my bed in reality for like 2 weeks. But who am I?
You're a bed maker.
Stinking bed maker.
Do you feel a little self-loathing when you don't make your bed?
Yes.
Every time.
Yes, but yeah. You know what? That's all right because I am a bed maker. That is going to be my identity.
You know
and
what?
I am going to get
and
it right.
You're a lady after your bed's heart. And I'm just saying, like, David fell, Pearl, but
I know,
he was a man
King
after
David
God's
in
heart.
The Bible? Yeah.
And he kept being pulled up and pulled up. And God said, hey, I see you after my heart. I don't see your failures. I see you after my heart. He didn't identify with the failure, David, because God didn't identify with the failure. God's name for him was man after my heart.
Oh, sorry.
So God's name for you, Pearl, Pearl in this situation is? Girl who just loves to make her bed.
Yeah,
man,
I think
I'm
this,
crying over that.
I think this bed making story should have been in the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that big.
No, it is because
there,
it's,
right?
It's just,
it is there.
It's an example of something so that's so much bigger. And Serene named it when she said, who do we think of King David as the Bible? We don't think of him as the adulterer. We don't think of them. He kept messing up, right? Didn't he mess up? And yet, what is he known for? The man after God's own heart. So Serene's true. What does God see us as? He doesn't see me as the mess up lady who can't get it together to make her bed.
Shabba.
Now Peter, right? Didn't the crow have to crow three times? Like he messed up three times. And then
but
now,
guess who is he known? Upon this rock I will build my church. And Peter was the first pope, Danny.
No, Peter wasn't no pope.
That's what.
There's a song. I only say that because I had a friend who wrote a song called Peter Wasn't No Pope.
I like it.
Now, was it Peter too that had the vision or was it Paul? Peter had the vision and it said, don't call unclean what I call clean. Peter, right? The same Peter, Apostle Peter, the amazing guy. Three times again in that vision, God had to say, hey, stop with all your like, what about Bob moments, you know? Hey, that's not my joke. It was Graham Cook's, but it was good anyway. Stop with that where you're just like so freaking agoraphobic and all caught up in your the way you see it. Three times, don't call unclean what I've called clean. Three times he had to say, no, you go to that house. You go to that Gentile. You go. You're going to be the one who opens up all of this, all of my heart to everybody. You're going to open it up to the whole Gentile nations, right? To all of us. We were standing behind that door too in the spirit, right? Three times he had to say it. Three times Peter was like, no, God, I'm not going to go take of those. I have never put something in my lips that's been unclean. Remember, it was all a metaphor of everything. He never got it right the first time in either of those situations.
Can I just bring you a sentence that'll just touch your soul?
Yeah, Dan.
The Bible is not a book of exceptions. It's a book of examples. So it's an example of us, not an exception of the superhumans that God super really liked.
Yeah.
It's an example of people with equal to and greater failures than we have in our life. And that didn't seem to stop God from getting super pumped and calling them over and being like, yo, you're in my cool club.
Yeah.
Like the cool club of God.
We're in his cool club. I love it.
Because it's not our performance that he's attracted to.
Oh, okay. You just released me again.
It's not.
So you mean that 2 weeks of making my, then I didn't make my bed, that doesn't necessarily count.
There's no
for
status.
If I'm a bed maker or not.
It's all in your own head.
Because our status comes from his gift, right? The gift of his righteousness that's just put over us. It's got nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
He's not sin conscious like we are, right? So he's not failure conscious like we are. He sees us. If we only saw ourselves the way he sees us, our whole lives would be totally different.
Yeah, I mean, the bed make thing is a personal win that begins to stack one upon itself and push you towards more success. Yes, but that is totally in your own head. I think I spent 15 years projecting my personal wins and losses out to the way God sees me, which is a majorly screwed up way to walk through your life. If the things that you're disappointed in yourself, you put that on God and you start to believe that actually God's disappointed in you, that he's upset. You are all fair, my love.
Yeah.
Is what he says. There is no flaw in you.
Yeah, oh, totally.
So true.
Like, that's the thing I had to own was that, I'll go scripture today. You ready, Serene? It's about time, isn't it?
Bringing it, Danny boy.
For by one sacrifice, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. We're being sanctified. We're in process. But are we perfect? And are we all fair? And is there no flaw in us? The answer is yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true because it's no longer if we're partaking of Christ and what he did, that one sacrifice, that was Christ on the cross. It's no longer us that live. When God looks at us, it's Christ that lives in us. So his perfection is our perfection. And yeah. You know, that's what it is.
It's so true, Pearl. And every morning we wake up, his mercies are new every morning. Every morning we wake up into that faithfulness, into that incredible gift. You know, and I love one thing that Graham Cook, I'm kind of about him right now because I've just been in a little habit of listening to him when I'm on my walks, pushing my toddlers. But he was incredibly talking about how it's a great little thing he does. In the morning, he just clears the mechanism. It's just like in the morning, he will not bring back anything from yesterday that's been put, that God's taken away, right?
Yeah.
And so he said he had this dream. He said he has heaps of dreams. Some of the like too much pizza dreams, but this was like a dream where oftentimes he would dream of Jesus and he'd always have the smile on his face. You know, always be like picking up a child and swinging them around and talking to the grannies and, you know, like having a party, you know, up in some great feast hall. This was his dreams often. But this time, Jesus looked ticked, like totally ticked. And he was trudging up the hill to where Graham was and had this dream. And he was freaking out. He was like walking backwards, you know. Graham was walking backwards, like, oh my goodness. And Jesus walked straight to him and says, give me back my stuff, Graham. Give me back my stuff. And Graham's like, what stuff? Like, I know like the gifts you've given me and blah, blah, blah. I don't understand though. I just don't understand. Give me back my stuff. Just give me back my stuff. And he was just really, just looked really upset. In the end, he was like, Graham, when I was hanging on the cross, why I stayed there was the delightful thought that you were going to be able to live in peace. You were going to be able to live in the light of life, that you weren't going to have to be hunkered down by this stuff. So your stuff is why I stayed there. I was thinking about how great your life would be without that stuff. I took it from you.
Oh, wow.
I spent the agony. I suffered there to wear that stuff. You took it back. You took it back from me, but I hung there thinking about how great your life would be without it. And you're just taking it back from me and trying to wear it again. That hurts, Graham. It's like, give me back that stuff. It's mine. I brought it. And so he woke up and he was like, oh, you know, he was like, he wrote down a whole list of the things he felt like he'd taken back from what
that
God had died on the cross.
Him, yeah.
And then he wrote a list of what the opposites are, because he said, whatever God took from him and wore on the cross, he wants to give something different. And so it's an exchange. Because God is an incredible exchanger. He wants to take the bad and exchange it for good, right?
Yes.
So he wrote down all the good, like if God really took his anger, right? He wrote down what God wants to give him. God wants to give him incredible kindness.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I'm going to take kindness. I'm going to take this. I'm going to take it. It was really great. So if you're under condemnation, like, oh, you know, I'm a failure. I can never do this, you know, and I'm 100 pounds overweight and I'm just a failure in this area. Don't take back the stuff.
And bringing it back to Trim Healthy Mama Land, you know, which we're coming back to right now, Sereni, I think what's the one thing, you know, you can start with one thing that you haven't been doing. Maybe one thing led to a few other things that you haven't been doing because that one thing filled you with so much shame. But what if you could, to borrow a line from Danny, go and do that now or next meal. So what if, you know, for lunch, you've been like, oh man, I tried, but now I'm just going to go through that drive-through because that's what I've been doing for these few weeks. It's just easier and I feel shame, but I just do it because that's me and it's part of my essence and it's my fallback. It's my go-to. But what if you don't? What if you go back and do the one thing that you haven't been doing because it's all, like Serene said, it's all past. It's all gone.
Give back the failure. And what are you going to take from him?
Yeah.
Fresh start.
Yeah, take the fresh start. So
the
just do
creature.
It. The next thing you do, I mean, bust that cycle. Bust it right now and just go do it.
And don't care about the perfect record because none of us have a perfect record. That's why the cross came.
Yeah.
Perfection is from the devil. It's a trap.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
I think the cycle-busting power is the perpetual belief. Let me explain this. The perpetual belief that you're perfect, that you actually have arrived already.
Mm.
In whatever the end goal is, that you know, you know, it's like like so-and-so was there in someone's loins or whatever. It's like the idea, the spirit of it, the possibility was present, you know? And so it's like, if you have a big impossible goal and you're not, and you're if you're currently a failure, I don't believe you're ever going to get to your big impossible goal, because failures don't accomplish anything. But if you are a raging success who is complete and have arrived already and it's perfect, inwardly, though you don't see the results on the outside, but inwardly you're there, I think raging, crazy successes are the type of person that creates that actually out in their real life. And so that's where, like, even if you're like super anti-Bible and stuff, just look, like, read it as a self-help manual first. I'll give you that. Like, take it as a self-help manual where approach your business, your health, your relationships from a place of completion and perfection, and see the results.
And can I just tell you something so interesting? Right. Maybe you're not a believer, so you're not taking it in the spiritual sense, but you're taking it in just a it's science. It's just how things work. It's law. It's laws of thinking, right? It's like we were discussing with my wonderful daughter-in-law who's about to give birth any day now. It's so exciting. We were having a birth encouragement party. It's kind of a tradition we do on the hilltop.
Esther. Arden.
Okay. This is our incredible miracle grandbaby for new people in the room.
Yes.
When they were first married, my son was diagnosed with cancer, and God has totally healed him. He's just doing so amazing. But, you know, it was a battle. And so many out there who are listening have prayed.
And he wasn't able to make babies.
Well, yeah, and
they did chemo and all that, and so
it's a total miracle. This is a miracle baby. God, you know, Pearl and I were like, you know, in the Bible it says dayenu. It's a Hebrew word that means would have been enough. When in Psalms it says, like, you know, if he'd only brought us out of Egypt, it would have been enough, dayenu. If he'd only have sustained us in the wilderness, it would have been enough, Diana. And Pearl and I are like, this is a would have been enough. This is a Diana moment when we were putting on the shower for Esther. We're like, if only Arden was saved, you know, lived. Because there was days where it looked like he was not, I'm not even going to talk about it. But anyway, Diana, it wouldn't have been enough. But look, there's a baby. It's amazing. Anyway, but we had this birth encouragement party. And after every woman who's had a baby spoke and gave her advice and encouragement, what we all decided, the key point that everyone said was, you birth in your mind. You birth in your mind.
Yes, you do.
Because your success, your even if you have a C-section, it doesn't matter. The your attitude about all of it, the success and your positivity of how the outcome is going to be, is all in your mind.
Totally. My wife, is it my turn?
Your turn and then mine.
My wife came up to me the other day and she said, you're doing a great job.
Aww.
And you can do no better.
Oh, I love that.
Like, you're doing the best job. And she said,
telling you have a rocking wife.
She's amazing. She followed up with, do you tell yourself that?
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, but it wasn't true. And I do now. But when she asked it, I was like, man, no, I always think that I could do better.
Wow.
Not always. That's the narrative in my head, is a voice that says, you could do better. But that's a failure voice. Voice. Could I work? I mean, I work till like 2 a.m. already? Like, could I work till 3? Sure. You know, could I do a 64th push-up? Yes. You know what I mean? Like, you can always physically perform better. But it's such a difference when you actually, the voice in your head becomes, you are doing amazing.
But what if you're not doing amazing, Danny, like me? Okay, I'm in the middle of my, let's just put me back 2 weeks. I'm in end of week one and I'm not making that bed. Or so we go to one of the Trim Healthy Mamas. They're in month two of eating Pop-Tarts for breakfast and potato chips right before bed. Are they doing their best? So how does one look at it like that?
Yes, because amazing is not measured by the hour. Amazing is measured by the lifetime. It's measured by the intent of your heart. It's measured by the things that you hold out in front of you as beautiful and perfect and goal-worthy. That's how amazing. I mean, are you?
I see what you're saying, because if it's measured by the hour, in this hour I'm a failure.
Yeah, then you're up and down. You're schizophrenic. Right. You're bipolar. You're always doing fantastic.
But I don't want to rest and say it's okay that I'm not making my bed, and I'll probably just continue not making it for the rest of my life. And the woman might say, but it's not okay to be eating potato chips for the rest of my life. It's not healthy for me.
And what would you tell your daughter? You might encourage your daughter. Well, girl, get in there and make the bed. It's just a choice.
Yeah.
But what are you gonna hang around her neck? Mm. Amazing. You're perfect. Yes. You're doing great. And look at what you're doing in your life.
More than this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the bed is a thing, and it's part of your motivation, and we get that. But like your life and the things you bring forth, daughter, I'm so proud, and I couldn't be prouder, and you couldn't even do better. You're doing. You're at peak level, and that's what I want people to hear is that. You are at peak level right now in your life. Like the fact that you're listening to this podcast, failures don't seek out podcasts like this.
That's so true, yeah, Dan. So
ballers seek out podcasts like this. Winners seek out podcasts like this.
I love that, Dan. And that means the intent of the heart. And I believe that.
That is so true.
And here's the thing. We could sit here today and give you, and we've done this before, really practical potties, right? You eat this for breakfast, and here's a fast and easy way to make this. And for lunch, oh, guess what? My latest lunch is, it's so quick at 5 minutes. We could give you all the tips and tricks and practical things. But guess what? If your identity is in the gutter, all our tips and tricks won't help you, right? Because it is identity. It is you claiming, I'm that girl who's going to do this.
Yes, and you could see something. And the fact and the circumstances may not be your desire. Okay. Say, like we said, birth in the mind, maybe you end up with a C-section.
Yeah.
But in your mind, you can decide that that was a victory because it was life. Look, there is a live baby here at the end of all of this. And you can see it victoriously, or you can look at it as a failure. Oh, my body didn't work the way it was meant to work. So you can look at the pop tart. Oh my goodness, I gave in again. Or you could look at it like you, Danny. Like look at the whole thing as an amazing thing. Boy, I learned today. I learned that pop tarts make me feel horrible, and so I learned that I'm actually more amazing than that feeling that's clinging on to my intestines right now. I mean, all in your mind, you can turn the atmosphere of the day, the atmosphere of the fact.
Yeah, you can turn it, and it's actually physically measured on scales up to 10 feet away. Like I just read this we talked about this before, where the heart rhythm and the impulses of the heart and the vibrations that the heart, the electro vibrations it sends throughout the body, is actually able to be measured up to 10 feet away. Yeah. And it actually will sync up with other people in the room. Now, just because they can measure it 10 feet away doesn't mean it stops at 10 feet. It means our technology can measure up to 10 feet away.
Yeah.
We don't know how large spirit of man is radiating.
And listen, this is like a little woo-hoo, woo-woo stuff.
No,
but, you know, it's
out of the Harvard
tested,
School of Medicine.
It's been tested, right, that people 200 miles away when prayed for or whatever can be healed. Literally, scientifically, things have been tested, like levels in blood or stuff. So you guys listening to our potty, right? When we talk these encouraging words, and Danny and Serena and I get together and steel sharpens steel, and we're encouraging you and we're speaking things into your life. I mean, I feel you guys here. Like you're in the room with us, right?
Yes, it is.
This is power to you, and things can be changed in the spirit world. Things can be changed in your physical world.
Broken,
the fact that you're listening,
broken.
Like Dan said, here's what I want to say. I love the Bible, whether you take it as a practical help, like Dan was saying, or whether you believe every word that was inspired by the Spirit, like we do. I love that it doesn't leave you where you're at, right?
Oh, that makes me just want to cry because that's my greatest thing.
Here's the thing with the world. We can say, oh, girl, you're just good the way you are, right? And God says that to us because of what Jesus did for us. But it also says, like we could say, be your authentic self. You're not feeling great. You're feeling angry. Show your anger. You're feeling down in a pity party. It's okay to feel sorry for yourself. You're feeling a bit depressed. Just, hey, go with it. Don't resist it. But guess what the Bible says? It's like go do that thing that you're not feeling. And so it says, let the weak say, I am weak. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I was like, wait.
No, it doesn't. It says, let the weak say, I'm strong. It's polar opposite. It's who we are in that long-term goal. And then it says, in Psalms, I loved it. Lift up the hands that hang down.
Yes.
You know, if your hands are hanging down, you're not feeling that great, right? You're feeling pretty lousy about yourself. You're thinking I'm a loser. But it says, lift them up. So it's like, go do that thing you haven't been doing. Your arms aren't in the air right now. Lift them. Go do it. I love it because it's like, it won't leave us there.
Yeah.
It's not going to.
Man, I'm drinking in that let the weak say I am strong because, you know, as everyone knows, I've tried to, like, I have to eat very poorly to gain weight. Mm. Like, I have to drink Coke and eat sugar. Like, that's it.
And gaining weight is his ultimate goal, people, just so you know.
Yeah, of all time. It's my final deathbed wish is to gain weight. But, I mean, just like people are trying to lose weight and it does affect, you know, it is a mindset thing and
I can totally understand and be in their heads because you have the same feelings. It's just the opposite end of the pole.
Exactly, yeah. And so, you know, I've sat in rooms, like I'm always the smallest guy in the room. You know, some people are always the biggest gal in the room and you're like, I'm always the biggest gal in the room. Well, I'm always the smallest guy in the room. And so I feel you. And
some of it's in your head because Danny's not that small.
I know,
is he,
I don't
Tim?
Even think you that
Do you
small
look at Dan Dan and think, what a small, tiny guy.
Well, I've got such a big ego.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You've got some big hair too.
You
that's
can't
good.
Possibly see small when you hear me talk. That's why it's best with the mic. Like, don't
Tim's Tim's talking. You hear it. Come here, Tim.
No, yeah, you won't though. No, you're on. Don't cut it.
I was just going to say, I feel like most guys relate to what you're saying when they're short, not necessarily skinny.
Skinny, yeah.
You know, and you're
I'm not
pretty
short.
Tall.
I'm average for a Mexican. But the weak say I'm strong, so part of what I do is push-ups and pull-ups.
Yes.
Like, that's part of my thing, and it's part it, that for me when you talk about making your bed and feeling like a failure when you don't, for me it's working out.
Yeah.
When I don't do my push-ups, when I don't do my pull-ups, it's always because I just don't feel like it. There's literally no other reason I don't do it, but the results I get, I don't mean just like physically, like when I'm from the mirror, right? I mean when that adrenaline and that blood is surging through my body.
Yeah,
man, there is, which is why I recommend getting your heart rate up when you want to break through in your life, because it will surge solutions through your mind. And
I agree. My son was just telling me that this morning. Rocky, you know, my 19-year-old.
Yeah.
He works out and he's like, Mom, I feel like it's totally different.
Oh, it's
totally.
Instead
if I'm feeling lousy, I go work out and I feel better.
Oh, it's
if I'm feeling great,
lift.
I go work out and I feel even better.
Yes. Yeah. And so that whole, I'm drinking in that, let the weak say I'm strong, because I'm always like, man, I'm so weak and I can't do push-ups today and all these other guys are stronger than me. And I'll see somebody carry like a heavy box or something. I'm like, I don't carry it that easily. You know, and I'm always like, that's my personal battle, right? Like everybody's got their thing they struggle with. That's mine. That's one of mine. And so, yeah, that let the weak say I am strong.
I love it. And I love Proverbs 28, verse 26, where it says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but whoever walks in wisdom will be delivered. And I feel like that's such a huge thing in my life. You know, and it's in another verse kind of talks about, trust not in your own understanding, but lean on, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Yes. And I just feel like we cannot trust our own logical reasoning, our own feelings, our own mind. We can't trust our own mind. It doesn't know what it wants. It doesn't know what it needs.
No, because when my mind says I feel weak, it tells me I'm weak. It doesn't say I'm strong. God tells me I'm strong when I'm weak.
And
but
your mind
my
actually
mind
says you're an absolute flippin' woo-woo for actually saying you're strong when you're weak. But it doesn't matter. The Bible says you to do it. And guess what? Who cares if it sounds a little woo-woo? Because, you know, we're meant to be a little bit peculiar.
Yes.
The other thing is that even things of this earth, like iClouds, and like I can take a picture of you and then print it off and there you are on
this
piece woo-woo.
Of paper.
That's so woo-woo. We're so far down technology now, but I even think a good old cassette tape from 40 years ago is woo-woo. I don't even know how it's happened.
And all the stuff that we think is a little bit now ooky and new age or whatever, of course, God made it all. It's all, you know, 50 years down the track, none of that will be woo-woo. They've figured it out scientifically.
Children will be doing it in kindergarten.
And antennas and all this, and even remote control. That's all woo-woo to me.
You know, you think of it,
that's old school
stuff. Travels through the air.
Yeah. Even crystals and quartz watches, they're run by electromagnetics and all this sort of stuff inside the earth. I mean, we call things woo-woo that God made, and of total science, we just haven't discovered it yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
Trim Healthy Mama Superfood Spotlight.
Can you believe we've never ever done a superfood spotlight on okra, and it's our major superfood?
I can't. Sorry, you said I was allowed to talk. I wanted to just say something because I know nothing.
I feel like I have no food in my house if I have no okra.
Do you?
Yeah, because it's just the base of so many of my
Because you do so many soup
meals. Yeah, and smoothies. Like my husband's chocolate ice cream every night is a base of okra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, why is okra, why do we go on and on about it? Because for many reasons, Serene, you list your
powerful blood sugar regulating, gut healing powers.
Yes.
Like incredible. So that means slimming powers.
Major slimming powers. In fact, you know, there are okra challenges that go on in the groups and stuff. Those of you that have been stalled a while, try the okra challenge. That's when you have some sort of okra in one of your meals, at least one of your meals every day. Especially Serene's secret smoothies with okra.
Oh,
Secret big boys. They literally shred the weight off you. The reason why, you know, you hear about lectins in life and you think, oh, lectins are baddies, and they write books about them. There are some seriously goody lectins too, and okra has some of them.
Yes.
And they actually attach themselves to receptors in your body, and they attach themselves to resistant weight loss. Other lectins that are baddies,
yeah,
and they sort of like overcome the bad guys as the good guys, and they help you lose weight.
I'm telling you what, there's like superhero Marvel movie stuff happening inside your intestines, and okra is like, I have never seen those Marvels, but what are the good superheroes?
You're not a Marvel watcher, are
you? No, but
Captain America
like got a big green cape, and like,
no, either
is like sliming down your intestines, healing your inner world.
That's great. You guys are trying to do like an action movie
Save
analogy,
us, please, Daddy.
And it's just tragic.
And I've never seen one.
It's tragic.
Like, I hate.
Why don't you
do
Marvel.
Like Captain America stuff? Like I like.
Why Captain America's so cool?
Look,
I can't
even
do it for the team.
Get in your zone and do like a Little House on the Prairie analogy.
Yeah.
You know, or like, you know, Michael. Who's the Michael?
No, I didn't really love that.
Michael
that
Landon.
Show either, man.
Yeah, no, you probably crushed on Landon as a girl.
No, I didn't. I didn't crush on nothing.
I tell you who she and I both crushed on.
Who? I didn't crush on anybody.
Well, Gilbert Blythe from.
Oh yeah, I did have that.
Gilbert Blythe from Anne of Green Gables. Come on now.
Yes.
Come on now. You know what? My cousin and I used to watch him over and over again at that part where he stands up and applauds Anne, where she does the poetry, right?
And
he's standing up, and we used to pause it on his face, just stare at his face for 10 minutes.
I know.
And stare at his face. Look at that face.
But lest we get sidetracked, okra is so full of vitamin C. And what do we know about vitamin
and
C deficient
together.
Person? Yeah, vitamin C deficient people, they can't lose weight.
Yeah.
Folate, can we talk about that, Serene?
Yes.
With all this MTHFR business going on, and if you've heard of that, you know that it is considered to be a mutant.
Mutated
gene in your body, and
dirty
if you
gene.
And if you have it, you probably have high homocysteine levels. You don't want them. You
but the problem
can't
is,
detox all of that.
If you haven't just heard of it, maybe you've studied on it. What you may have realized is the more you know about it, the more you don't know about it, and it's such a complicated get lost in the thickets.
Yeah, well, guess what? People have had these mutated genes for thousands of years, and they've lived long, healthy lives. The issue is you need folate. You don't need folic acid.
No, that hurts it.
It does. How do you get folate? Okay. One of the highest things is lentils, but one of the other highest vegetables is okra.
So you can make delicious treats, people. Big boy smoothies. They're so like, oh, to die for, creamy. And you'd think the creaminess came from cream. It comes from okra, people.
Yeah. And if you're pregnant, you need okra.
Hey, try
because
out okra
of the vitamin C and the folate. Well, you need more folate when you're pregnant.
They're even a source of calcium, people. They're high in antioxidants. It's loaded with pectin that helps reduce, you know, your high blood sugar. It also helps bad cholesterol.
Now, can we talk about
bad
the slime
pressure?
Factor? People say I don't like ochre because of the slime. Danny, get up to the microphone, Dan Rooney Positoony. Are you an ochre fan or not, or have you not imbibed in the ochre yet?
Man, I didn't know this until this moment. I've only eaten fried okra.
Breaded, fried.
Ever.
Well, listen, the more you stir, the more you activate that slime. If you cook it and you put acidic things in with your savory, like gumbo, you know, in the traditional Cajun cooking, they love okra, but there's a lot of tomato stuff. There's a lot of, like even if you put a little apple cider vinegar in the sauce.
Yeah.
It kind of eats up the slime.
But let's talk about the slime, because that's a mucilage and that's what heals your gut.
No, but it eats up the feeling of the slime. Still, the benefits remain.
How about a new word?
Do you love the word mucilage? You love that?
Worse?
We say slime is better.
I mean, what else you
there's
got to
be the tender part.
You think
part.
Of a name, the tender. There's
no tender to the snot. Just call it slime. There's snot, mucilage, or slime. It's three choices.
But are you talking like when you cook it, there's a.
No,
it separates?
It's a little goo.
Can it be called oil?
No, because it's
membrane-ish. Thank you, Leslie.
It's clearly not imbibed or.
Membrane is like
I
when you're
at
a... I
can think of worse words to call it right now.
No, membrane's like...
Mucus.
If you trick-or-treat and you go into the house and you're supposed to stick your hand in the mystery bowl and it's like a brain.
But guess what? When you whip it up into smoothies, it becomes almost like a whipped wonder of
That's when
of
the slime works
creaminess.
For you.
Yes.
It can actually thicken things and you wouldn't know it's there, Danny.
So like maybe the thick part of the okra?
Yes.
Thick
and oozy.
The thick cream that comes from the okra.
There you go. Thick cream.
The cream.
There's no cream. It becomes creamy when you put it in a secret big bowl.
He's trying to love it, Serene.
The gelatinous substance.
There you go.
I like that.
The gelato.
The okra. They're your Italian self.
The gelato of the okra.
The gelato of the okra for now. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Danny.
Okra gelato.
You just brillianted okra. It's
That's
never going to be the
pop
same.
Song.
Yeah.
Okra gelato.
It heals the digestive tract. It's moisturizer from the inside. You can call it moisturizer for the inside.
The moisturizing part
inner,
of the okra.
Inner cosmetic.
Okra juice.
It's not really juicy. No, it's not juicy.
Okra lotion.
Okra, yeah.
Here's another thing. If you are put off by it, you've got to try baking.
Colon lotion.
Colon lube.
Colon lube.
Okra's got built-in colon lube.
Hey, you got to bake it. For the one of the yummiest things, Timothy, engineer for the day.
You don't have to bake it, but if you want to bake it.
I know, but if you ever want to taste something yummy and you've like only eaten breaded okra like Dan here, and you want to moisturize your inside and heal your gut.
Full lube.
Go get frozen okra, put it on a tray, okay? Put some coconut oil, some salt and pepper, nutritional yeast, a little cayenne pepper, and bake that thing till it's good and crispy. Oh!
What about the okra brownies too?
Cry no more brownies.
Yeah.
Cry no more, Danny.
I'm not believing in okra brownies. Please convince me.
Hey, listen, I haven't told my children. Some know. My husband he totally knows about the okra. He even buys the okra for his chocolate ice cream. He calls it chocolate ice cream. It's like soft serve.
In our book, it's called Tummy Spa, right? It's a spa for your
tummy. No, I don't do that. I just do the secret big boy chocolate, but it's so ice creamy to him. And I put it in a double-walled stainless steel so it stays frozen. It doesn't ever melt into a smoothie.
Yeah.
And I kind of make it extra thick with ice.
Tummy spa.
Yeah. Okra is a spa for your tummy.
If Trim Healthy Mama ever ceases to work out for you, you know, you could like full-time be like a branding, like product name designers.
And do you know what we could do for our spare time? Dress up as giant okra pieces, like you know when you get into the and then
sounds
like
horrifying.
hand out little okra tasty things
at Costco.
Yes. And Walmart if we get a license.
Just I picture you two wild Aussies up in Costco just like trying to convert all these people eating their bacon bits and little chutney samples on crackers.
Yeah.
And there you are with your okra and you're like, oh, we promise you'll love it, it's good for your guts, it'll lube it.
Trim Healthy Mama my way, and then I'll be Trim Healthy Mama.